Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. We're getting some really, Ray, we're getting wonderful positive feedback of our new theme music that just by chance, you know, these things in life, serendipitous. I'm over in Europe on the island of Madeira off the coast of Africa, and I run into this young German composer, and we start talking, and he composes music, and I said, how would you like to compose original music for my radio show in Tucson, Arizona, USA? And he said, yes, we made it happen, and folks like it. It's a new theme for us as we're celebrated yesterday our five-year anniversary here on KVOI, AM 1030, The Voice. Ray Allen is producing our show and engineering on the other side of the glass. We welcome you to the program. All of our shows are available on podcast. Have them up usually within an hour of the program. We've got them at buckmastershow.com and, of course, live streaming at kvoi.com and on my website as well. We have a full hour as usual. We're going to begin with Dr. H.T. Sanchez, Superintendent, Tucson Unified School District, followed at 12:30, former Democratic Party Chair Jeff Rogers, who for many years was involved in getting other candidates elected. Now he is running himself. So we'll talk to him about his foray into the political arena as a candidate. And then we'll round out the show with the Buckmaster legal contributor, attorney Don Luce. H.T. Sanchez is with me in studio. Dr. Sanchez, good to see you.
Yes, sir. And congratulations on your second acknowledgement as a Hall of Fame inductee, this time in Nevada. Very impressive.
Thank you very much. And my thanks to John Schuster, the Media Watch columnist in the Tucson Weekly that is up at TucsonWeekly.com. Wrote a very nice story about my time working in Las Vegas and all of those exciting things that happened before Las Vegas, H.T., became a family-friendly town. Let's put it that way. Back in the 70s, things were kind of crazy up there in Las Vegas. Well, you're celebrating on July 1st. You'll begin your fourth year. A lot of people thought you were going to be a short-timer, kind of two and out like some previous superintendents. And you have to go back a long time, don't you, to find a superintendent that's been there now pretty much as long as you have.
Yes, sir. It was Dr. Stan Paz, who was hired in 1999, was the last superintendent to start four school years. And so I'm looking forward to us having a successful fourth school year here.
Well, a lot of folks thought you were just going to be here a short time and kind of move up the career ladder. And you've had your critics, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But how would you characterize the first 3 years?
You know, I've run into so many people that want to see the district succeed and want to help in moving the district forward, and I've really latched onto those folks and their ideas and their support, and it's been challenging work, but it's rewarding because everything we do to improve the district improves the lives of children in our community.
Teacher vacancies, there was a piece today in the Arizona Daily Star, over 400 teacher vacancies, TUSD, how many do you have right now going into the summer?
We have about 146, which is better than this time last year by 50. Last year, we were over 200 at this time. So we're doing a better job in recruiting people and retaining people.
Is TUSD a better place for teachers these days?
Yes, sir. It's a better place. You know, I have to applaud the governing board. They supported a $4.2 million recommendation at the last meeting to put technology into students' hands, as well as update technology for teachers in the classroom for instructional purposes. And the board also approved moving the teacher salary with pay for performance, if you're a teacher with 1 year of experience, to $38,500. And once everything rolls out with Prop 123, we're going to be very close to 40,000. And so it's a better place pay-wise. It's a better place when you take a look at the instructional resources that we're moving into the classroom.
790-2040 is our live line number. If you would like to go on the air and ask Dr. Sanchez a question, Jim, our friend Jim Kelly, is first up. Hey, Jim, you're with Dr. Sanchez.
Hi, welcome back, Bill.
Thank you.
You're well rested.
Thank you very much.
Dr. Sanchez, have you guys thought about developing an app for cell phones so parents can report their children not coming to school? Have you thought about doing a full computerization of taking attendance so that all teachers have to do is push buttons and all kids have to do is enter a PIN when they walk into the classroom? Wouldn't that help in terms of knowing exactly what your attendance is every single day?
Yes or no? I'm glad you asked that question. Next year, we're rolling out a brand new system to do many of the things you're talking about. So we're about a year out from the launch of an app that will allow parents to check grades, check attendance. This last year, we rolled out the phone system. So if a child missed a class or didn't show up at school, parents would get a phone call, and that was all dependent on the accuracy of the phone number parents gave at the beginning of the year. But we're stepping it up next year to have a online grade book for teachers that isn't a double entry, that they put it in one time, parents get it in real time. Same thing with attendance, that attendance is taken either on a, you know, iPad or a tablet device or on the desktop. So that's why it's so important that we update our teacher technology stations within the classrooms. But we are heading down that road, and I'm looking forward to the launch of an app within the year.
Has there been a significant drop in disciplinary action at some schools within TUSD? And one of our Facebook friends wanted this question asked. Is there a link? Does this have something to do with the DSEG, the order?
So the Unitary Status Plan, I have to applaud the Department of Justice and the plaintiffs. One of the data pieces they wanted the district to look at was, do kids who break the same rule from different ethnicities and different schools in different parts of town get the same discipline consequence or the same kind of intervention and support? And so as we began breaking down the information, we found that if you were African American at some schools, you were 6 times more likely to be suspended from school than an Anglo student for breaking the same rule. If you are a Latino student, you are 4 times more likely than an Anglo student to be suspended for breaking the exact same rule. So this past year, we spent a lot of time working with principals looking at that very issue of, if you break a rule on campus A and you are of a certain ethnicity, if you break the same rule on campus B and if you're of the same or different ethnicity, you should get the same consequence or you should get the same support. And that has helped in terms of really evaluating why a minority child would be sent out home when a Anglo student would not for the same infraction. So it's been difficult work, it's tough work, and it takes soul searching to ask ourselves, you know, why are we doing that?
Matthew has called us at 790-2040. Hey, Matthew, how are you today?
Very good. You know, Jim and I happen to both be at the Elder Forecasting for The Economist, and I hope you get a chance to have Dr. Hammond on to talk about the forecast.
He is he is scheduled, I think, within the next week or so. Okay.
And I would I did see Superintendent Valenzuela from Sorita there, and lots of officials from other entities around the Southern Arizona. I'm not sure if Dr. Sanchez had anybody there, but one, I got to tell you, it all came down to graduation. I mean, graduating high school has a huge effect on the economy of a metro city, whether it be Los Angeles or mm-hmm. Tucson. Mm-hmm. And even more important, one or two more years, meaning like JTED or PCC, it had an astronomical effect on the economy of a metro city.
All
so
right.
I really encourage Dr. Sanchez to get a hold of those reports from the Milken Institute and from Dr. Hammond at the U of A at
sure.
Miller and,
okay.
and review them, because it was very important to hear how education affects the economy. Thank
sure.
you.
Bye. Sure. And I'd love to address that briefly. I didn't get the opportunity to attend it. I had a engagement with the Metro Chamber of Commerce. They have a very impressive group of 40 under 40 leaders. And so I was talking to them about public education. But yes, I have the information. And to that point, Tucson Unified School District's graduation rate is 81%. The state average is 70%. 6%. So we actually have a 5% higher graduation rate than the rest of the state. When you do the math behind that, us being the second largest district in the number of kids we educate, we just graduated 2,550 plus kids last week. It tells you that we're doing a good job there. The other thing we do in conjunction with Mayor Rothschild is our Steps to Success, where we knock on doors, bring kids back to school, and ensure that they get their high school diploma. In the last 2 years, we've brought back and graduated, at this point, 57 students that were former dropouts. So there's a tremendous economic impact, and we fully appreciate and understand that.
And getting back to discipline, before we take the break here, you are changing the code of conduct from what now reads like, some would say, a police document to something more user-friendly for parents, teachers, and principals.
Yes, sir. We worked with the Department of Justice to get a short list of some very impressive people who have done this work in other large districts. And so we found a gentleman who's done this work in Denver Public Schools. And he came in and has visited with students who get in trouble, students who never get in trouble, teachers who have discipline issues, teachers who have never had a discipline issue, principals, and parents. And took quite a bit of information down, and his job is to create a document which is a code of conduct that's easy to understand and easy to follow, and we'll present that to the special master, the court, the plaintiffs, the Department of Justice, get their feedback, and ultimately by August, take it before the governing board and give them an opportunity to comment on it before we put it into place. The board has to vote on it.
All right. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, one of our fine sponsors, encouraging you to get away from the heat. By the way, Dr. Sanchez will stick around for another segment. Where it's only 3 hours east of Tucson. You know, figure it out. The elevation over in Silver City is about a mile high and up to 7,000 feet. So at night, especially nice, cool nights. And that looks really good right now when you've got Tucson coming up here with an excessive heat warning over the next couple of days, 110 degrees. 3 hours east of Tucson, great places to stay like Agave Ridge Retreat. Check it out, their website, Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico at southwestnewmexico.org. Be right back. The Regional Transportation Authority is funding new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and transit service enhancements to get you where you want to go. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sorita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sorita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster with some exciting news. You could win a $1,000 or a $500 travel voucher to one of 18 nonstop destinations from Tucson International Airport in the Travel Smart with TUS contest. Register for free through Tucson International Airport's Facebook or Twitter pages, or go to the website TravelSmartTUS.com. Good luck. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Little Steely Dan music bumping our way into segment two on a Thursday afternoon, where we go over 100 degrees today for the first time. At least we held off till June, but boy, we're going to pay, aren't we, for the next couple of days with this excessive heat warning. H.T. Sanchez begins his fourth year as superintendent of the state's second largest school district, Tucson Unified School District. He begins on July 1st during the first segment, talking about several issues, including discipline. During the break, someone asked, how many years do you keep disciplinary records?
Yes, sir. We hold on to it about 8 years. That's our state and federal requirement, and we back that information up, and we do follow the letter of the law in that area.
Well, one of your most frequent critics is a board member, Dr. Mark Stegeman, and he had a piece while I was away on vacation, but I was able to print it out, of course, through the archives of the Arizona Daily Star, and he really was critical of TUSD's, what he calls the rising administration costs. He says there's a weak management culture. Generally, what do you say to that? What would you like to say to Dr. Mark Stegeman?
Well, when I first got the job, I used to take his critiques personally because we're all human. But then I went back and looked at everything he said about my predecessor. And so you could change my predecessor's name for my name, and it's the same stuff. And then I went back and looked at his predecessor, and you could change her name and put my name in, and he says the same stuff. I think what's fascinating is he talks about a weak management culture, and Dr. Stegeman was the board president when the district closed 12 schools. He was the board president when the district had a $17 million deficit. He was a board president when the district laid off teachers, and he was the board president when there was a massive mismanagement of the Mexican-American studies issue. So he puts out that he's here to come and rescue the district and save it. And my question is, if you want to know the future, take a look at somebody's past work record. And Dr. Stegeman, as a board president, when he critiques the current governing board and says they just don't handle the dollars, we have $16 million in the bank, in cash on hand. We've given teacher pay raises the last 3 years in a row. Nobody's been laid off. No district schools have been closed. And he has had no part in that. I mean, he hasn't participated in being solution-oriented. He's been a constant critic. But as I said, I don't take it personally anymore because he did the same for the two superintendents that he worked with previously that lasted an average of about 1.8 years under his leadership.
And he talks about trying to cut the budget. If TUSD cut
nearly 11% of its budget spent on pure administration to the average of Arizona's other large districts. That'd be more than 30,000 students for a large district. Then it would have $11 million more annually to spend on instruction.
You know, we have cut district administrative costs over the last 2 years by 8%, and that's what's enabled us to do the pay increases. We put $4.2 million recently into computers. Add on top of that the 2.5 we did last year. Add on top of that the over $11 million we've put towards salary increases for Tucson Unified School District employees over the last 3 years. And what he's talking about, I mean, yeah, I'll say, you know, we are going to comply with the Unitary Status Plan, and it says I need to have a director for culturally relevant curriculum, a director for multicultural curriculum, a director for talent acquisition, a director for Mexican American Student Services, a director for African American Students. I'm going to put those positions in. They're in the Unitary Status Plan, and I have the page numbers where those positions are in there. So we're going to comply. We're going to hire the positions, and he can say that, well, we've added administrative costs. He's voted for those administrators because they are part of the Unitary Status Plan. And so I appreciate his acknowledgement and vote for him. But what I find odd is his critique of things he's voted for.
What about the strategic plan? Is this year two now that's coming up?
Yes, sir. We've finished year two of our five-year district strategic plan, and all of the work we've done in stabilizing the finances and in doing salary increases and putting more technology in the classroom, that's all been tied to that plan. And on the 14th at 5:30 at the Duffy Education Center, we're going to do a year of end review that is tied to the strategic plan and all the work we've done. It's also tied directly to my superintendent goals. And so this is what the board holds me accountable to and what we and Tucson Unified hold ourselves accountable to.
One of our Facebook friends wants me to ask you about all the teachers that have left. Over 900 teachers have left in the last 2 years. Why are they leaving? Just better opportunities?
You know, 900 sounds like a really big number, so I'll have to go back and take a look at that, because I know we haven't filled 900 teaching positions over the last 2 years, but I'll go back and take a look at those numbers. I never want to say never mm-hmm. without looking. But when you take a look at it, 25% of teachers in the United States today are eligible for retirement, and we're seeing the baby boomers retire, and the generations that are following them aren't as plentiful in number, and some of them are not choosing education as a career, but as our data shows, you know, we're replacing 150 at this point. We're 50 better than we were last year at this point. And we just have to continue to recruit and do our work to retain and support our teachers and our principals who support them.
School year begins outrageously early, it seems. August, first week in August.
Yes, sir. August 4th. Yeah, I mean, it's really early. That whole 3 months of summer is evaporated with the heat wave.
You know, my friend Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star had a column today about school years and the way that that whole thing is changing, isn't it? The way people, when I a million years ago was in school, we had 3 months off in the summer, June, July, August, and we'd go back to school after Labor Day.
Yes, sir. Yeah. And you know, a lot of that's changed, and it goes back to the agrarian culture when kids during the summer, that was harvest time. And, you know, there is no harvest time in my family. Instead, they hang around the house and we try to get them into swimming and all kinds of other extracurriculars. And it's a good thing. But I really see a need for us to change the way we structure the school year to be more year-round with some breaks here and there for the kids, because 2 months of summer with no academic rigor in some kids' lives really sets them back 5 to 6 weeks when they start the school year. They have to relearn things and relearn content and information. So it makes sense to take a look at a different calendar. We're not an agrarian society anymore.
Yeah. I like the idea of kind of a year-round calendar with maybe a couple of weeks off punctuating that year throughout the year rather than this long break. Because quite honestly, a lot of the kids... Yes, the pool's open today, which was great news in the city of Tucson. But a lot of the kids just really they're looking for something to do.
They are, and when you take a look at the cost of childcare, parents then have to fork out dollars to find places to put their kids because they still have to work. Parents don't get the summer off either. So what would make sense would be perhaps some breaks around December and some during the summer, some during the Thanksgiving holiday and 4th of July. And it would make sense to have some of that in there. But, you know, I can really see within the next 5 to 6 years a national movement to more of a year-round calendar.
Dr. H.D. Sanchez, thank you very much. Going to have to wrap it up here with you. But getting back, I do want to mention there is that strategic, the year two, there's going to be a public meeting. I believe it's June 14th at 5:30. That will be going over year two.
Yes, sir.
And that will be in the boardroom at the Duffy Center. That's at 5th and Rosemont.
Yes, sir.
So you want to encourage
folks I hope folks to come will up. Show up. Yes, sir. I hope people will show up and listen, and a lot of great information.
All right. Dr. H.C. Sanchez, we will have you back on as we quickly approach. Boy, before you know it, August 4th is going to be here, so we'll have you on, hopefully, right before we get that going up.
That'd Thanks be an so honor. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. Dr. H.T. Sanchez, Superintendent TUSD, with us in the first half hour of the Thursday edition of the Buckmaster Show. We continue after our mid-show break. Please support the people that you hear who believe in our work, and they ask for your support. Be right back. Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Every year, eager travelers journey to Europe to experience the Yuletide season at its very best. With the glittering backdrop of winter white hilltops and extravagantly decorated cities, get swept up in the enchantment that's in the air. Let's not forget the most magical part of all, Europe's famous Christmas markets, renowned for their festive atmosphere, great food and drink, and handcrafted gifts. Experience the magic of the holidays aboard an AMA Waterways river cruise. Call Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Christmas market cruise and save up to 40%. Bon Voyage Travel, 797-1110.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, we'll talk with Tucson City Manager Michael Ortega. Our Friday roundtable features Sarah Garrett Gaston of The Star and Mari Herreras of The Weekly. Matt Russell hosts Weekend Watch on Buckmaster noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI and always on BuckmasterShow.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, 12:34. Jeff Rogers joins us now, and Jeff has been, of course, through the years, a very frequent guest, not only on my previous TV show, but on radio, as we've talked about politics, because Jeff was longtime head of the Democratic Party here locally. How many years did you serve then, Jeff?
Well, I was the chair for four years, two terms, and then I was a vice chair for 4 years, two terms.
There you go.
And then I was vice chair of the state party as well.
And now you are a candidate for Justice of the Peace. And you're going to educate me and a lot of our listeners about the whole Justice of the Peace thing. I have no idea how many precincts there are, and I'm not really clear about what a Justice of the Peace does.
Well, there are 9 in metropolitan Tucson. There are 11 total, 1 in Green Valley and 1 in Ajo. Of the 9 we have here in Tucson, we're very fortunate to have 8 of them be lawyers. You don't find that as much across the state. When the position was created over 100 years ago, it probably wasn't necessary to become a lawyer to do it. You just had to have good seat-of-the-pants reasoning and common sense and judgment. But it's much more complicated now. At that time, there was Arizona laws could fit into one bound volume. Now the annotated Arizona Revised Statutes is 61 volumes long, and Arizona Reports, which is the reported cases that interpret the statutes in the Constitution of Arizona, is approaching 300 bound volumes. So there's a lot to know, and there's no substitute for being a lawyer, although the one non-lawyer of the 9 positions in Metro Tucson, Keith B., actually does a pretty darn good job. I think it took him a little while to get up to speed, but he's really pretty good at it, and I have a great deal of respect for Keith B. But in the past, when there have been bills proposed in the legislature to amend the statutes to require that you be a lawyer, it doesn't go over very well because it's a favorite retirement place for former state legislators. What they do is they rack up a career in the state legislature where they qualify for a state retirement, but that state retirement's based on a $24,000 salary, and so then they need, in order to boost that, they need to get a job in the state as maybe a board of supervisors member or as a justice of the peace, so that the retirement will be based upon the higher salary. So that's generally the one thing that's a favorite of the former state legislators.
And of course, this is a partisan race. You're running as a Democrat,
yeah,
in the precinct number 6, which is central Tucson.
It's central Tucson, Flowing Wells, and a little bit of sweeps up to the northwest side around the Tucson Mall, just kind of west of the Tucson Mall.
There was a retirement in this precinct?
For 20 years, Judge Paul Simon has held this position, and he's retiring. I think at 20 years, you may end up maxing out your judicial retirement, and he's part of the old retirement system of elected officials and judicial retirement system, which has since been eliminated in favor of a different system.
And signature day was yesterday, the filing day, and you filed, and your competition is former state lawmaker Paula Abboud.
That's correct.
So that's an interesting race.
That should be an interesting race. She certainly will be a formidable opponent, having run in the state legislature at least three times. So, of the 9 districts, for JP that are in Metro Tucson, only one of them is competitive, and that's the one that's on the far north side, and it has a slight Republican edge. The rest of them are not competitive at all. They're either heavily Republican or heavily Democrat. So the primary election really decides the results for that position, and it will here too. I don't think there's even a Republican running, but in my estimation, I think these should be nonpartisan.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no reason to politicize a judicial position.
What are the issues for a justice of the peace in your particular precinct?
Well, justice of the peace is the judge, or a city court judge, is the judge people are most likely to see in their life.
When would you see it typically then, a JP?
Well, all traffic cases that are filed by the Department of Public Safety, the Pima County Sheriff's Office, and U of A Police Department, and DPS, all of those go to the justice court instead of city court. So if you get stopped for speeding in the county up where you live, you're going to go to justice court. If you get stopped for a DUI in the county, you'll go to a justice court. If you get arrested for domestic violence, you will go to the justice court. So they are, and these can be major criminal offenses. I mean, a domestic violence conviction can cause a person to lose their Second Amendment rights. And the Supreme Court has upheld that federal law some time back. I actually litigated it on behalf of some police officers who were subjected to it in an ex post facto fashion, meaning that they passed that law in the early 90s, and these people had a much earlier in their life a domestic violence conviction, and they were and it was held to be retroactive, and so they ended up losing their jobs.
And DUI.
And DUI is one of the most serious offenses and it's to be taken very seriously, but it also has extraordinary collateral consequences. And these are jury trials, DUIs are. They're not bench trials like many of the other offenses that you see. And in addition to all of these criminal offenses up to a class one misdemeanor, the JPs also handle small claims court. They also handle civil jurisdiction up to $10,000. So oftentimes a credit card company that's suing somebody will do it in justice court because the amount doesn't exceed $10,000. It's less expensive to litigate there. They also handle landlord-tenant and evictions, which are called forcible entry and detainers. And so it's a very busy court system, and it's an opportunity in the criminal cases, of course, to perhaps affect someone's life so that they don't cross the street into felony superior court and maybe make a difference in their life. And one of the things that they've been doing lately is we've created specialty courts, like a domestic violence court will handle many of the more serious domestic violence or repeat offenders so that they can all appear before the same judge and all get treated in the similar or same fashion. So we have some consistency, and there's also a method of supervising them so that they don't reoffend and so that they take care of the problems, whether it be substance abuse, alcohol abuse, or anything, or anger management, or anything that caused them to misbehave in that way.
You feel this is a good fit for your background?
Oh, it is, absolutely. I have 23 years of trial experience, graduated at the top of my class in law school. I think it's a great place to actually have an effect on people's lives in this community in a good way, and help people transition from maybe breaking the law or getting into trouble to living a more productive life.
Do you have to give up your legal practice if you became the Justice of the Peace?
Yes, you absolutely have to give it up. It's a full-time job.
Well, I just thought I'd ask. So this is something when people go to on their ballot, they will see Justice of the Peace, and they wonder what precinct they're in. Well, when your ballot comes out, it will have just your particular precinct, or what?
Yes. Okay. If you live roughly, you know, in the center of town up to the near northwest side, then you'll see, and if you ask for a Democrat ballot. So Democrats will automatically get a Democratic ballot, but independents, who are now over one-third, I mean, they're the plurality in Arizona and in Pima County, they get to request any ballot they want. So they can ask for a Democratic ballot. If they do, then the name would appear there. And as I said, it'll all be decided August 30th because there is no general election opponent.
All right, Jeff Rogers, candidate for Justice of the Peace in Precinct Number 6. He's the former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. Jeff, good to see you. Thank you very much for coming in.
My pleasure.
All right, Jeff Rogers with us on the Buckmaster Show. Keeping with the legal theme, our legal contributor to the Buckmaster Show is in the house, ready to go on next, and that is Don Luce. He's next, our Buckmaster Show contributor. Green Things. Thank you, Ray, for reminding me, and I always want to tell people about Green Things because that's the nursery of choice. We love to go to Green Things. Do you do any gardening, Jeff?
I do, and I go to Green Things.
Okay,
it's right next to the stable where I keep my horse. So I pass there every weekend when I go ride my horse.
People walk in from, they do the river walk, and they're biking or whatever, and I've seen people come into Green Things on horseback.
Stable's right next to it.
So Green Things, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, 3384 East River Road. They are now expanded to 13 acres with 33 greenhouses. GreenThingsAZ.com. Be right back. Hey, hey.
year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across Pima County. More than 730 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations. Thanks to our partners in the public for collaboration, participation, and support of the RTA plan. By delivering both mobility and economic benefits to our communities, the RTA truly is making a difference. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. We have an entire section devoted to the Old West and its heritage. Contributors include Wyatt Earp historian Scott Dyke and hiking Apacheria's Jerry Egan. We also look back at Old West newspapers and feature a column, This Day in Old West History. It is Old West News from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona is setting the standard for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. Being accredited with BBB means that your business holds the same high standards and consumers can count on you to keep your word. Hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans use our website every month. Make sure they find your business. Call us today to discuss the many benefits of BBB accreditation at 888-6161 or go to our website at bbb.org/Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Joined in studio, our once a month visit that I always look forward to because I like the guy. He's good too. Attorney Don Luce of Luce Brown and Hopkirk and Associates, with offices conveniently located here in Tucson and in the Phoenix area. Mr. Luce is the Buckmaster Show legal contributor, author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, and the other book, very important as well, Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. And after this legislative session, Don Luce, we're going to have another edition of Arizona Laws 101.
We may very well. You know, it's interesting, Bill. Each legislative session results in hundreds of new laws.
I know. It's unbelievable.
But the legislature is out for the time being, and now we're looking at the federal courts and seeing what the judges are doing to change the laws.
Joe Arpaio, always in the news, it seems, and
That was kind of crazy. What was that giant balloon? It looked like it was ready for the Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade. I mean, did you see that thing?
Yeah, it was under the headline, Judge Doesn't Trust Arizona Sheriff to Fix Some Problems. So.
What the heck? What's going on with his legal battles right now?
Well, he's losing, but it's costing the taxpayers of Maricopa County tens of millions of dollars in the process. So here are just some quick numbers. Maricopa County taxpayers have already spent $41 million in this case involving the sheriff, arising out of these immigration patrols that he used to conduct. They've budgeted or set aside another $13 million this year in the same case. And now the federal judge who is hearing the case has ordered that the parties get together to create a victim compensation fund to compensate the immigrants who were detained as a result of these immigration patrols. And that's expected to cost the taxpayers of Maricopa County another $1 million. So I guess the takeaway from this is if you elect an official, as the voters of Maricopa County did, who creates these kinds of issues, as Sheriff Joe Arpaio, according to the court, has done, you're going to pay for it. And these dollars for any size county are significant. You're looking at, back of the envelope calculations, $45 million just to date relating to these immigration patrols that Sheriff Arpaio was conducting several years ago.
And he has insisted publicly that he could still enforce the immigration law at that time anyway.
Yeah, the federal judge disagreed with that proposition. In fact, he specifically found that Sheriff Arpaio was aware of the order barring the immigration patrols, yet violated it for 18 months. The judge suggested that the sheriff was violating the order intentionally in order to boost his approval rating in anticipation of re-election.
And he is up for re-election, right, in 26 this year?
I believe so. You know, in fact, he is a long-time serving county sheriff. But with these kinds of dollars that we're talking about in this case, in which he has already been found to be in civil contempt, and he may later be found to be in criminal contempt, I think the voters are going to take a hard look at this. And if anybody goes up against him, they may, for the first time in many years, have a chance at defeating him.
Don Lewis is with us, our Buckmaster Show legal contributor. The Arizona Board of Regents is charged with overseeing the three state universities, and now they're in the news. A court has found evidence of illegal retaliation by the regents. What the heck is this all about, Don Luce?
All right. So the Board of Regents for years collected a student fee from each university student. It was $2 a semester. All right. So a couple of bucks a semester. But given the number of students, it raised more than $500,000 per year. And that money was used to fund the Arizona Students Association's political and other activities. All right. So for years, the Board of Regents is collecting these fees and giving it to the Arizona Students Association, or the ASA. Well, the ASA used some of these funds to back an initiative to raise taxes, part of which would go to support higher education. Then Governor Brewer and the Republican lawmakers and several regents were opposed to the initiative that the ASA was backing.
That was back in 2008,
yeah.
I believe. Yeah.
Well, it was a 2012 initiative, and it was defeated. Shortly after its defeat, the Board of Regents called a special meeting specifically to discuss the student fee. And at that meeting, the board voted to suspend collection of the fee and to withhold the income that it had already collected for the spring semester in 2013. Well, because the ASA no longer had any source of funding, it essentially went defunct. And it filed a lawsuit against the Arizona Board of Regents. The case has gone to the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, and the Court of Appeals has said that there is enough evidence to support the claim that the Regents financially undermined the student group because of its support for the 2012 initiative to raise taxes for education. It seems like it's a little bit complicated factually, but the bottom line is that the 9th Circuit Court of Appeals acknowledged the ASA's First Amendment right to support the initiative and said that there is enough evidence to support its claim against the Board of Regents. So it's going back down to the trial court, and there will be a hearing or a trial to determine if the Board of Regents acted improperly and violated the student group's First Amendment rights.
Don Luce is with us, the Buckmaster Show legal contributor. Don, you know, you just mentioned that the Arizona legislature passed, what is it? It's hundreds of laws.
Yes, every session, hundreds of laws.
And you go through that, and I know you're thinking of material for the next update for your book. Did you find any interesting laws this time around?
None that actually come to
Nothing
mind.
Jumped off the page at you.
You know, but we've come from recent years where there have been just phenomenal changes to talk about on air. And a lot of the laws that the Arizona legislature has passed in past sessions, not necessarily this most recent one, but years past, have gone on to the 9th Circuit Court of Appeals and then to the United States Supreme Court, most famously of late, I believe, the series of immigration laws that the Arizona legislature passed several years ago. Those laws took 5 to 6 years to find their way through the court system, and most of the laws passed by the Arizona legislature on immigration at some point were declared unconstitutional, interestingly.
And who pays the fees? The taxpayers pay the fees.
The taxpayers pay the fees.
Defending
just like
the state of Arizona. If I don't think anybody's ever added up what all of this has cost in legal fees to the taxpayers.
Well, that's an interesting point, Bill, because the Arizona Attorney General's Office, which essentially is the largest law firm in the state, mm-hmm. Handles a lot of the work. But with regard to some of the more higher profile cases, they actually outsource the work to private law firms that charge hundreds of dollars an hour to do the work. So if you were to add up the legal costs of defending all of the lawsuits challenging the various statutes that are being sought to be set aside, it would be hundreds of millions of dollars, a staggering amount. And again, going back to what I said earlier, I guess you get what you pay for. Not that the legislature isn't doing a good job. It's just that when you have controversial laws like we've seen in past years, it's gonna result in lawsuits, and lawsuits are very expensive.
You know, I want to also talk a little bit about estate planning in Arizona. If you die without any kind of a will or trust or anything, what happens what's the procedure?
All right. So two scenarios if you own property.
Right.
One scenario is that you've provided for pay on death beneficiary designation. So if I have a bank account and I have you listed as my beneficiary on my death, you go to the bank with my death certificate and you collect the money in that account because you're the beneficiary.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you don't have stuff, pay on death beneficiary designations on your stuff, then what's going to happen is somebody's going to have to file a probate petition to be appointed as the personal representative of your estate. They may have to post a bond. They may have to go before the court in a formal proceeding. So it gets stickier, it gets more expensive, and it incurs costs that can be entirely avoided, as you pointed out, by having a will or a trust.
And many people just, for whatever reason, don't sit down with a specialist like yourself, an attorney, and talk about these things. But it is so critical.
You know, unfortunately, that is true. Anecdotally, I would guess that 50% of all Arizona residents do not have any estate planning in place.
Wow. I wondered what that percentage. So you're saying almost half, about half. Yeah. And is it something like, you know, I'm looking across the glass right now at my fine young producer, Ray Allen. The guy's 30 years old. Should Ray have some kind of a document in place?
Well, speaking to younger residents and why estate planning might be important, if you have children, you can nominate a guardian for your minor children through a validly executed will. If you don't have a will, and should your child need a guardian, either as a result of your death or incompetency, the court is going to have to pick from among essentially strangers and determine what is in the best interest of that child. You can circumvent that by executing a will, nominating a person to be the guardian of your minor children. Now, this is even if you don't have assets to distribute.
Right.
So, yes, even young people would benefit from having a basic estate plan in place, including executing healthcare directives in the event that the person's unable to make his or her own healthcare decisions.
All right, Don Luce. Thank you, Don. Good information.
Thanks,
as
Bill.
Usual. Attorney Don Luce of Luce, Brown & Hobkirk & Associates. They have a very nice office in Tucson. You're up by P.F. Chang's on River Road, correct?
Right across the street.
There you go. Also in the Phoenix area, and Mr. Luce comes on our program at least once a month. We appreciate it very much. His two books, Arizona Laws 101, a handbook for non-lawyers and estate planning in Arizona, what you need to know. Coming up this afternoon for Tucson at 4 with Mike Shaw. Then tomorrow morning we do 3 hours from 6 to 9 of Local Talk, Wake Up Tucson on the Daily Double with Christy Simone. Then me, Bill Buckmaster, for our Friday edition of the Buckmaster Show. We have lots to talk about with City Manager Michael Ortega on our Friday Focus interview. Until then, have a great afternoon and evening.